Yes, let's do this. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the world's greatest action sports podcast. I'm talking about the Monday Mass with Chris Cote, with me. I am the host of the world's greatest action sports podcast, also the world's fastest growing action sports podcast. What do you think of that? Before we get into your regularly scheduled podcast here on a Monday, July 3rd, happy July 3rd, happy 4th of July Eve. Hey, it's summertime. This is a public service announcement. There are little asshole animals under the water. They want to bite you. I'm talking about stingrays. I got hit by a stingray yesterday. So, folks, shuffle your feet. That's my public service announcement. Shuffle your feet. I got stung, bit, whatever. Bit. Stingrays don't bite. I got hit by a stingray yesterday. It sucked. But, as you all know, I'm kind of a badass. Yeah. So I if you get hit by a stingray, go immediately wherever you can to get the hottest water possible. Put your foot in it. All right, you'll be fine. Get back out there. Stingrays suck. But anyway, let's get to this awesome show. This is July 3rd. This is the Monday Mass. We got a great show. Mike Burnett from Thrasher Magazine talks King of the Road. We got Ira Ingram talking about the finals at the Battle of the Barracks, best of the best. Also, we got Michael Suker and editor-in-chief of What Youth Magazine, Travis Ferrey. They're going to tell us about their latest issue and so much more. This is, like I said, it's the world's greatest action sports podcast, the Monday Mass with Chris Cote. Let's do it. Let's start today with skate news. Skate news. Skate news is brought to you by Gnarly Wood and Quincy Woodwrights. These are my homies from Carlsbad, California. Quincy Woodwrights is a skateboard company. They build, let me start from the beginning. They grow their own wood to build their own skateboards in Michigan, Wisconsin, right there. They own their own factory. They probably make boards for every skate shop you go to. So Quincy Woodwrights, follow them at Quincy Woodwrights. Also Gnarly Wood. Gnarly Wood is a company that I recently started doing some work for. I love these dudes. They are your business amplifier. I'm talking back end, logistics, e-com, warehousing. All the stuff that you didn't want to do or don't know how to do when you started your company, they do it for you. They grow your company. They have huge clients. They have small clients. They have awesome clients. Loose Towels, Live Nation. Yeah, that the big Live Nation. That's what I'm talking about. Just check them out at Gnarlywood. They're my homies, and they support the world's greatest action sports podcast, the Monday Mass. Here's skate news. Jamie Foy is pro. That's me clapping. Love this dude. This is epic news. Jamie Foy, who was already just killing it before his star turn on King of the Road. Jamie Foy now pro for Death Wish. And this is one of these guys that when they go pro, you want to just go buy their board just to have it because they're that good. He's the best. Super nice kid. And obviously, you've seen what he's been doing on King of the Road. You've seen his video parts. You've seen it all from Jamie Foy. I'm looking at the new Thrasher magazine right here. And yeah, Jamie Foy is a star of this magazine as well. But this says Am Scramble 2017. Well, take Jamie Foy off the Am list. He is officially pro. He got the board with his name on it at the final episode filming of King of the Road, which thankfully they didn't spoil it. There's no spoilers as far as who won King of the Road. But Jamie Foy, the big news, the Foy is pro. Go buy his board, Death Wish, for skateboarders. Buy skateboarders. Buy Jamie Foy's board. He's awesome. Hey, speaking of King of the Road, I got Thrasher Magazine, editor-at-large, and the inventor, the creator of King of the Road on the phone just the other day. I'm talking about Michael Burnett. Michael Burnett, this guy is the mastermind behind the heaviest, harshest, most epic skateboarding scavenger hunt that's ever hit this planet. King of the Road 2017, I'm claiming one of the best yet. And you agree or disagree. I think it's one of the best King of the Roads we've ever seen. So King of the Road, how did it all start? Why did it start? What does it say about skateboarding? And what can we expect from the next episodes of King of the Road? I got Michael Burnett to explain all of that to us here on the Monday Mass. Here is Michael Burnett, the who's, what's, where's, why's, and how's of the world's greatest skateboarding scavenger hunt, King of the Road.
I used to do trips with my friends from Colorado. I went to college in Boulder, Colorado. And after I moved out here, we would do like an annual trip, usually to Oregon, where we'd go up and go skate and camp and stuff. So early on in those, we were the Boulder Dicks, because one time we showed up at a skate park and I overheard somebody say, "Who are those guys?" And I'm like, "Those are those Dicks from Boulder." So that was our crew. And so we would do little, I would put together these little road trips with my friends. And we would do, the most common thing was we'd put a bunch of tricks nobody could do in a hat, and you had to draw a trick out of the hat. And if you didn't land it before the end of the trip, learn it, you had to get your right ear pierced. And we made videos and stuff. So that was kind of the beginning of it, just kind of like a road trip that has like kind of some sort of challenge structure. And then from there, in 2003 is when we first did it with Thrasher, and that's when it got its entire format, where it's like there's like a book filled with tricks. You have to go to certain cities, and in those cities you open an envelope back in the old days, and you would have these challenges you had to do. Usually it was like you'd have to meet up with local legends, you'd have to skate certain spots. A lot of it's like kind of a wink to different famous moments in skateboarding history and skate culture and pop culture stuff. So that's kind of what it is. It's like, yeah, it's teams of pro skaters and vans driving around, having to go to different cities, having to accomplish all these tricks and challenges and meeting up with people. It's, some of them build off of each other. So something happens one year and then we make a challenge out of it the next. So some of this stuff kind of creates itself. Or something funny will happen on the trip, and we're like, okay, let's relive that moment, but in a challenge form. The whole idea for this thing, part of it was to just make the most action-packed road trip you could ever have, you know? So it's like, you go on a bunch of road trips with your friends, and maybe one of these things would happen. Somebody would do something absurd, ridiculous, whatever. And this is just like kind of jamming it all in there. So I don't know. Part of it is like you just put it in there and see what happens. And I mean, the first couple of years, like the craziest thing in there was to get a Thrasher tattoo, which now it's like these. I mean, as you know, like David Gravett tattooed his face a few years ago. So it's like there's nothing shocking with these young people. And so I don't know, you kind of throw it out there and see what happens, and I'm always delighted with how these guys accept these challenges, and I don't know, I mean, there's certain challenges we definitely won't do, but like as far as within the realm of just general goofy bullshit, like we haven't seemed to reach the limit. I remember one year though, we were coming off of that Jamie Thomas spree. This is like 2004, 2005, 2006, when Zero won three in a row. And they had Chris Cole and Tommy Sandoval, and they just went bananas. Like the level of skating was so high. So then the next year, I made the book. I kept going. Like I made it even harder, and there was like a serious backlash. This is like trick-wise, because I think that may have been the year we switched to shoe companies, and those guys did not want to, you know, they were like, what are we doing? Yeah, they did not have the same get up and go as the Zero guys did. So I learned I had to kind of tone it back, dial it back a little bit, at least as far as the difficulty of the stuff. And now my general rule of thumb for the skate tricks is just, I put something in there that I know every single person can do. I'll watch videos of the entire team, and I will literally like, this guy can do this trick and this trick. I put it in a book. This guy can do this trick, and I make sure there's something for everyone. Like, because you get better results when the dudes can do stuff rather than everyone sitting around stumped and pissed off, you know? But as far as, like, the gross, gnarly stuff, some of them are just like, this is so stupid, let's put it in there. Like, taking a crap out of a tree. That was, like, a very last-second addition of just, like, it was actually from a real story where somebody was, like, in a crowded park and really needed to take a dump really bad, but there was nowhere to go, so he climbed up into a tree because that was the only place he could have privacy. So that was an actual story I knew. So, yeah, this is just total, just nonsense. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, episode 4 went up was last night. So we're caught up to 4. There's a really funny one, next one, where the Enjoy team meets up with Jerry Gurney. Do you know who Jerry Gurney is?
Yeah, the Hessian.
Yeah. So they have a day called Praise Skatin', where they have a whole, like, heavy metal, satanic heavy metal day, and it's absurd. Mostly just Jerry, because Jerry's like. Ozzy in his Moo stage, remember? Like when Ozzy would wear those weird house dress, sparkly house dresses when he was a little heavier in those maybe mid-80s years. So that's kind of where Jerry comes in physically. But yeah, it's absurd. It's totally stupid. Steph, you know what's the handcuff stuff is people seem to really like too, and this is one that we've kind of floated around forever with, like, what if we handcuff two people together? And I was worried that they wouldn't do it, because that's the worst thing is on King's Road, is the people are just like, fuck this, we're going to Foot Locker or whatever. So it's like, but yeah, so two guys from each team were handcuffed together overnight, and hilarity ensues. It's pretty good. That one's episode 2. Yeah. No, that's a good question. I mean, where this thing sits, I think, is that there's been a few skateboard stories that have been kind of told to the masses, and one of them was, you know, like, originally it was this completely artificial one, like the X Games was telling, which was, like, was not based in reality at all, but eventually, like, they hammered that home, and so then you had a bunch of little kids believing, like, yeah, I'm just fucking training out here to go for X Games gold, you know? So, like, that was, like, a pretend story that they started telling. Like, they framed it in, like, an Olympics, you know, athletic framework. And then, you remember those first years of the X Games, it was, like, Rodil de Araujo Jr. won 9 years in a row because no Americans even bothered to go. So it was, like... But eventually that story became true, and so people believed, like, yes, these people are just working all year training for X Games gold, and that's the goal. And so, you know, 15 years ago, they'd be like, are you, when you get stopped, they'd be like, are y'all trying to be in the X Games? And then the next big story that was told was probably with Bam, which was, like, just, like, total goofball stuff, which I thought was... That was probably a little bit closer to, in the beginning, was a little bit closer to, like, what skateboarding really is, and was super fun. And then, you know, Rob Dyrdek, his story obviously was highly contrived, but at the same time, the message was that skateboarding is fun, and you're goofing around with your buddies, and so the public kind of got that. And then, I guess, Street League and all these contests, like, Street League is for sure, it's, like, framed up in more of kind of a gymnastics format, you know? So it's, like, very much about precision, precise landings, and stuff like that. So it's, that story is definitely more about, more like, with that, in that traditional athletic framework that I think most skaters don't operate under. So, long story short, I feel like this is an opportunity to tell the story of kind of what a lot of skaters do, and also, but more specifically, what, like, the skateboard industry does, which is we drive around in vans street skating, you know? We go on these little road trips, we get out, we go to handrails, we try to get clips, we take pictures, film, and we have a good time. So, yeah, now, for sure, are y'all on King of the Road? y'all doing King of the Road? We get that a lot. So it's like that, which I think is cool, because then it's like, I don't know, maybe it legitimizes just a bunch of dipshits fucking up a handrail. I don't know. It's like it might make it easier for us if they think, yeah, like, oh, this is what they do now. They drive around in vans. So like, I know in the last year and a half or however long it's been on, like, many, many skate companies have told me that when they're out on tour in the van, that's the question they immediately get is this King of the Road? Are y'all King of the Road?
Yes. Burnett rules. It's so funny because, like I said, he's a super nice guy, but, man, when he gets his pencil out and starts writing down King of the Road challenges, he turns into a demon. Some of the best challenges we have yet to see here in King of the Road 2017. I'm excited to see the heavy metal challenge coming up. Be Gurney for a Day. It sounds amazing. And man, I'm vested in this thing. I want to know who is going to win King of the Road 2017. If you want to know, if you want to watch, if you want to watch the world's greatest skateboarding scavenger hunt, you can go to Viceland on Thursday nights at 9:30 Pacific Standard Time. Or you can check it out the next day. The good people at ThrasherMagazine.com have decided that they're going to air it for free for all of y'all the next day. So you can watch the premiere on Viceland on your television set or computer, and then you can watch it the next day on your computer or television set. You can watch websites anywhere or shows. Yeah, I'm sure you watch it on your phone. Speaking of websites, some more video drops for you to watch. The Skate Mafia x DC Way of Life video. Wes Kramer. Oh, yes. Watch this. Some San Diego street skating at its finest. Yeah, Wes and Alexis Ramirez. Alexis is small on Instagram. Alexis small. Alexis SML. Yo, this is good skateboarding, folks. And if you're a San Diego resident or live near the area and or have ever skated around San Diego, you'll see some of these spots these guys shred, and you'll be psyched. So watch that Skate Mafia x DC Way of Life video. I believe it's on ThrasherMagazine.com. The Santa Cruz Everslick video. My man, Andrew Cannon. He is the mastermind behind what's up with Santa Cruz right now and doing a hell of a job. Everslicks are back. And I was at Mike McGill's skate shop just down the street from Monday Mass headquarters. Picked up, I grabbed an Everslick, Santa Cruz Everslick. I'm feeling it. I'm going, I want one of these. Everslick boards are back. These Santa Cruz Everslicks are dope. Watch this Santa Cruz Everslick video. You're going to want one. Everslicks are back, man. You remember the 90s? Well, they're new and improved. Okay? New and improved. Also, hey, Jordan Taylor, Pro Part for Weekend Skateboards. Ill. So good. You have to watch this. Jordan Taylor, a ripping skateboarder, goes pro for Weekend. And guess what? Cameo from one of my favorite skateboarders, Logan Taylor, Jordan's brother. So if you're going to watch it even for Logan's tricks, because they're that good. Congratulations again. We talked about this last week. Jordan Taylor, pro for Weekend Skateboards. Yeah, Jamie Foy's pro. I know that. I made these notes earlier. Hey, right now, and this is like a product shout out. It's about shoes. Hey, the Vans Ultra Range Pros. Okay, these are brand new. These are your new summer skateboarding shoes. Vans Ultra Range Pros. They're lightweight. They will last. This is not a paid endorsement. Yes, I do get paid by Vans for commentating and other certain things that I do. I don't get paid to wear their shoes. Don't pay me to wear shoes. I buy these shoes. The Vans Ultra Range Pros. You've seen the videos of Curran Cables skating these things? Skating them. They're like, it's like they're air conditioned. And they're just like putting your feet in little sofas and it's comfortable and you still got board feel. And of course, come on, Waffle Soul, don't even. Brian Anderson's new zine / book, Cave Homo, just dropped. Jenkum says, get ready, Jenkum. Jenkum.com, one of my favorite skateboarding websites. There's a part in Brian Anderson's Vice documentary where he describes his type, and it's a bear. It only makes sense that a year later he would celebrate his coming out, not out of the closet, but out of the cave, with his bearish husband, Andrew. The result? Cave Homo. A zine, painting, art, photos, all about Brian Anderson being the gnarliest homo on a board. I love me some Brian Anderson. You know this. This dude's the best. And I will be finding this zine and buying it on the internet because I want it. Brian Anderson says we have to mention Luke Williams and Christian Tripe. If you go to Jankim.com right now, you can go see the photos of the release party. It looks super fun. There's some leather. There's some bears. There's some beards. Some big boys. Some good times. Check it out. Jankim.com. I will be buying Cave Homo. Where can I buy this? I'm going to Google it after I do this show. Speaking of bears, I don't know if this guy would be a bear or not. I don't know if he's hairy enough, but I know he's a big kid. He's a ripping skateboarder, and he's on the scene for Monday Mass. I'm talking about Ira Ingram. Ira Ingram, he's a director. He's basically the eyes, ears, fingers behind the scenes that bring you skateboarding. He brings you all the madness from ETN. He also was the director of the live broadcast of Battle at the Barracks 10. The best of the best. This just went down, Friday night? This was the finals night. And we've got Ira Ingram calling in the day after to give us the rundown of probably what will go down in history of the best finals night ever for Battle of the Barracks. I wish I would have gone. I blew it. But thankfully, we had Ira there bringing us that live webcast. So let's take a listen to my homie, the curb killer himself, Ira Ingram, talking Battle at the Barracks.
Hey, what's up, Chris? You. For those of you who don't know me, this is Ira Ingram. I produce and direct a bunch of live skateboarding stuff to get to watch on the interwebs. Talking about Battle of the Barracks 10 here. Holy shit, I got spoilers, folks. If you haven't watched the live stream, pause this right now. Go to the Barracks Facebook page. Hit play. Get some popcorn. It's insane. Come back right here. I'll wait. And we're back. This was, I think, the most packed Battle of the Barracks in history. All around, it was a historic night. This event, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like the energy in this room in skateboarding and anything else. Chris Joslin versus Nick Tucker are two rookies. These guys have never been in a finals night. Holy shit. I think it just came down to who had the steadier hand, and Joslin had the nerves. He was firing at the crowd, and he edged out Nick Tucker. They're both wizards. Anyone could have won. Seven versus Shane, the rematch from championships of Battle of the Barracks 8. I've never seen anything like this. You can't write this stuff. Just Shane has Seva on the ropes to the tee, drops a trick. Seva comes back and just finishes Shane off in like the blink of an eye. It was Rodney Mullins there. He can't believe what he's watching. It was fucking insane. Third place battle, it is what it is. Someone's got to fight for third. It ended up being Shane. And now you're into the championships. Seva versus Joslin. Everyone thinks Seva's going to win this. He has Joslin on the ropes. It looks like it's over. And then this guy, like, what a class act. He's the salt of the earth, right? Like, who stopped? He didn't get called up by Mike Moe on the toe drag. He grabs the mic. He says, no, I'm not going to win this way. I touched my toe. And then Joslin comes back and sweeps the leg with a late shove it late kickflip. Landed three times in a row, cleaner every time, and the place just explodes. I've never seen anything like it. It was the greatest Battle of the Barracks championships of all time. A shout out to Auxiliary Channel, the greatest live production crew in skateboarding, in action sports. Shout out to you, Chris, greatest podcast in action sports. And thank you, everybody. Rest in peace, CJ Tamburino. We love you, man. Roll forever. Skateboarding is the best. Peace and love. Take care of each other. I'm out of here.
Ira rules. Follow Ira Ingram at Curb Killer on Instagram. And yes, like Ira just said, you hate to end skate news on a sad note, but you got to give it up. Love, positivity going out to the friends and family of CJ Tamburino, Minneapolis skate legend, and everyone that I've heard this from have said the same thing. The dude was just a genuinely nice guy, a good human. I actually have some quotes from transworldskateboarding.com or skateboarding.transworld.net. Cyan Grape says, so underrated as a skater and especially as a person. was a shining light in a sea of overpaid and spoiled children. Streets be in mourning. Gold Toast says, Minneapolis GOAT. Minneapolis greatest of all time. So our thoughts go out to the friends and family of CJ Tamburino. And you can go to skateboarding.transworld.net. There is a GoFundMe to help the family pay for the costs of, you know, that that just tragic ending. So that's it for Skate News. And Skate News, of course, has been brought to you by... Who was it brought to you by? Who did Skate News be brought to you by? I didn't even say. Oh, yeah, Gnarlywood and Quincy Woodwrights. That's right. The homies. Where are we going? Snow. Let's go to Snow News. There's no business like snow business. Snow News brought to you by our friends and fam, Masterplan PR at Masterplan PR. These are the spokes in the wheel that is the hype that goes behind every episode of the Monday Mass with Chris Cote. I'm talking Masterplan PR. They are a public relations and communications juggernaut in the world of action sports. They do it all. The reason we all know about all this stuff is Masterplan PR. Thank you, Masterplan PR. Grind TV just released. What? GrindTV.com released a lit. Can I speak? I run the greatest action sports podcast in the world. I can't say released. Grind TV just released a list of places to ride on the 4th of July, which is tomorrow or today. Whenever you're listening to this, of course, you can listen to the Monday Mass Action Sports Podcast any day of the week. I listen to it on Mondays. I record it on Mondays. Back to this story. Okay, here's some places to ride on 4th of July, or the 5th or the 6th. Mammoth Mountain, of course, you know about that. We talk about it every single week. Mammoth Mountain is open. Freedom Fest is happening right now at Squaw Valley. Freedom Fest is a 3-day, 4-day snow ski celebration. Celebrating freedom, celebrating the fact that there's still snow on July 4th. Timberline proudly boasts that it is the only ski resort in North America that's open all 12 months of the year. So expect good conditions at Timberline. They got a 79-inch base, and that's good. They've got 3 lifts, 2 terrain parks open. So go shred Timberline. I mean, that's where you can go and you put red, white, and blue snowboard pants on and no shirt. Ladies. Mount Bachelor is open. Or it closed and now it's reopening. Independence Day to celebrate. They have a July ski event. That's July 2nd to 4th. So if you're listening to this from anywhere else besides Mount Bachelor, you better hurry because it's closed tomorrow. Maybe. But it's open, 7:30 to 1. Get up, get early. Sunrise and accelerated lifts are open. And of course, let's not forget the High Cascade Snowboard Camp. The coolest, best, sickest snowboard camp on the planet. We will have Corey back next week to give us an update from High Cascade Snowboard Camp up at Mount Hood. So that will be next week. Corey will be checking in. Corey is a homie. Corey Mack. He's a digger, a shredder. He's building jumps at High Cascade Snowboard Camp. Oh, yeah, speaking of jumping, if you want to jump off something and not break your ass when you land, Mammoth has got a new airbag. It's 200 feet long, 77 feet wide. It weighs 12,000 pounds. You jump off a jump into it. It's got a 35 feet high. So you fly off a jump, triple cork. Oh, you missed the grab. You're spinning. You're out of control. You're going to die. Bam, you land in the airbag. You're totally fine. So there you go. It's called the Progression Airbag. It's set up at Mammoth Mountain right now. And this is huge because this is where a lot of our future Winter Olympians are training. Guys like Brock Crouch. I mean, Sean White probably has got his own airbag somewhere. But there's a lot of people up there in Mammoth Mountain. On Mammoth Mountain? On the mountain? The files are in the computer. They're up on the mountain. They're jumping off shit and they're landing in an airbag. And they're not hurting themselves because we all, if you've snowboarded and gone off a jump and hit the landing, it's not soft. It hurts. So the Progression airbag is set up at Mammoth Mountain. Be fun to go up there and jump into that thing. I have a problem getting to the jumps straight. So I need that. That was your snow news. What did I say? Snow news is brought to you by Masterplan PR. Let's go surfing now. Apparently, everybody's learning how. Surf news is brought to you by South Coast Surf Shops. Go to South Coast Surf Shops, any of the five locations in San Diego County, and you will see a wide selection of incredible surf stuff. From bikinis to flip-flops to cool hats, shirts, tank tops, trunks, wetsuits, surfboards, skateboards at South Coast. And let me tell you, these guys know what's up. Sometimes you go into a surf shop and you go, hey, I wanted to know if the John Florence fins are equal, if not greater than the Jeremy Flores fins. And should I go feature, you know, and the guy behind the counter is all, dude, just get the John or get whatever color you like. These guys at South Coast Surf Shop knows what's up. They know what's up. I can't talk today. It's July 3rd. I'm about to go on vacation. Give me some slack. No vacation for QS surfers because the Bolido Pro is off and running. This critical QS 10,000, qualifying series 10,000, meaning a very important contest, one of five QS 10,000s on the year. This is a contest the Bolido Pro has shown us in history. I'm talking historical terms here that whoever does well in this contest, this most likely is the contest that will dictate who will be in the running to make the cut for the World Championship Tour in 2018. So far, it just started. This thing's in South Africa, so it airs at like midnight 5 days ago or something. But it's just started. Two of my favorite Mikeys, Michael February, a.k.a. Freestyle February, and Michael Wright, a.k.a. Mikey Wright. I've been tearing through early rounds. And then there has been some upsets. Somehow Frederico Moraes lost. There's a lot of CT dudes, championship tour dudes. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is basically the highest level of the minor leagues, QS surfing, QS 10,000. There's only five contests in the year on the QS that offer 10,000 points to the winner. And you need to get about 30,000 points to make the World Championship Tour at the end of the year. So you need to do well in these QS 10,000 events if you want to make the World Championship Tour, which is like making the major leagues. So, again, history has told us if you have a win or a top finish at the Bolido Pro, you're setting yourself up to have a hell of a year. So there's about, what, half the World Championship Tour is in this contest. So I'm thinking a CT guy is going to win this thing, I would hope. You know, I'm going to hope, let's just say I hope one of the Michaels wins. Michael February or Mikey Wright. That would be cool. On the women's side of things, Sophia Fulton has already won the Bolido Pro. It was a QS 1000 for the ladies. That was at Willard Beach yesterday, or today, the day before. South Africa, different time zone. Zoe McDougal got second. Waves looked fun. What do we got here? Yeah, more stuff. Oh, Kelly Slater. Kelly Slater. I thought the shark business was over. I thought it was stingray season. And I'd much rather tussle with a stingray than a shark. Did I mention I got hit by a stingray? Shuffle your feet, folks. There's nothing you can do to warrant, to ward off shark attacks. There might be some things, but we don't know. Kelly Slater was surfing lowers. He saw a shark breach right outside of him. And it's funny because these days, it's probably more rare to see Kelly Slater at lowers than a shark. You could be out there and you're going, catching, oh, there's a shark. And then you turn around, whoa, Kelly Slater. So yeah, Kelly Slater saw a shark at lowers, which sounds weird in itself. Surfline has been telling me and the rest of the millions of people that go there that the East Coast has been firing. And I like that. You guys deserve it. Y'all deserve it on the East Coast. I want the East Coast of America, of North America, and South. I want the East Coast to have a hell of a good summer. I like the East Coast. I want to go there. I would love to score waves somewhere like Palm Beach. I mean, this looks cool. It looks fun. So, yeah, the East Coast has been looking good. Hopefully, maybe we can get someone out there, listens to the Monday Mass, give us some East Coast surf news. Hit me in the DM. That's direct message. On my Instagram, at Chris Cote, if you have East Coast surf news. And preferably, if you have a deep southern accent, love to get some of that East Coast surf news. Okay. Like I said, at the very top of the show, we've got two of the young men behind probably one of my favorite magazine and website, What Youth, whatyouth.com. So What Youth just dropped their 18th issue, right? That's their hitting their five-year mark. They are standing strong as one of the last remaining print publications that features mainly surfing. They do have a lot. They probably go 60% surf, 30% skate. I don't know the percentages. It's a great magazine. Music, skateboarding, photography, art, some snowboarding in the mix. So basically it's like the Monday Mass, but cool. Not corny like this show. They do it right. Okay? What Youth magazine, whatyouth.com. I sat down with the editor-in-chief, Travis Ferre, as well as the videographer, editor, photographer, Michael Suker. So we got the boss, and we got Michael, Travis Ferre, Michael Suker. We sat them down in Travis Ferre's living room, which is across the street from my house. He's dating my sister. They live together. But this was not a paid advertisement for What Youth. I'm truly interested in What Youth does on a day-to-day basis. And their new issue is super good. High-quality stuff. So I sat them down and I asked them how they do it. Again, why they do it. What's What Youth all about? Here's Michael Suker and editor-in-chief of What Youth, Travis Ferre.
All right, I'm Travis Ferre. I guess my title is editor-in-chief, but we sort of do everything together.
And you started it.
Yeah.
I'm Michael Suker, and I do the films on the website and photos for the mag and the interviews sometimes.
Yeah, I'll start with the cover because I think it needs a little bit of background to kind of
resonate.
So a few weeks ago we did the Brixton broadcast at the Troubadour, and we got to interview the Murder City Devils before the show. Before the show, did a cool interview with them, which is in the magazine. And then obviously the show was, I guess it was kind of private, but open to the public at the same time, somehow.
A couple random people got in, yeah. Which is one of the guys on the cover. No one really knew him, I guess.
Yeah, it felt special. But anyways, they're doing the set and everybody's having a great time. And then, I believe there's a guy off to the side of the stage, Chris Cornell had passed away maybe 2 weeks before and sang Play Black Hole Sun, which I think was a weird Seattle reference. And then, Spencer Moody from Murder City Devils, the singer, dove off the stage and began fighting this guy in the audience during the show, mid-set, mid-song, and then proceeded to get back on the stage and finish the set. And I think we were all shell-shocked, and we got the photo, which was shot by Morgan
Rendingon.
Rendingon.
I've known him for a long time. I grew up skating with him. So it was pretty cool to have some say in him getting a cover. I think right when we got that photo, though, we all knew it was like there was no other option. It's like, right. This is going to be the cover.
It's kind of the mood, too, of the issue. Every issue comes with like a mood, and on the back it says, "Don't want to work for scum anymore." And that's obviously a Murder City Devil song on their newest album, and that ended up being like a theme, I guess. You know, inside the issue, you've got Dane Reynolds' profile, and he kind of quit his corporate Quicksilver gig to do former and his whole deal. There's the Rosviet Russian feature, which it's just a group of guys like doing things the way they want to be done, and that kind of resonated through a lot of the different features, I think, inside that kind of theme. I mean, it's so funny how I remember I interviewed Dane for First Chapter. It was my first big interview when I worked at Surfing. And I remember one of my questions was like, so this is First Chapter. Are you going to do like, is your whole career going to be all these like chapters, like movie projects? And then I was interviewing him for this and he had just released Chapter 11. And I was like, dude, you still went ahead for the last decade. You've been talking about chapters. But it like really did feel like it. I've known Dane, I think, for a decade now. And like since I was kind of a young kid, like putting trips together, and he was kind of a Grom too, and we were not that we like came up together in any way, but like similar age, and it was cool to go to his house and see his like family and see like literally him start from scratch to start a brand like we did 5 years ago. And Dane, when we started What Youth, he was kind of instrumental in starting What Youth because he was so for us quitting Surfing Magazine and quitting what we were doing to do what we wanted to do. And he, I remember he was one of the first guys we asked, like, hey, if we quit, will you still do trips with us and, like, help us through this? And he was like, yeah, I'd, like, love to contribute and help, you know, orchestrate stuff. So he, I don't know, that was kind of cool for me. It kind of just was a whole new thing, a whole new vibe to Dane, like, to talk to him 10 years later after it's a new chapter.
And just seeing my, like, childhood hero. Like, I don't think I would surf if it wasn't for Dane. Like, I thought it was kind of lame. My dad always surfed and would show me surf movies and stuff, and then I found Marine Layer and thought it was the coolest thing ever. Like, the music he would use and even his filmmaking. Like, people don't really think of him as a filmmaker, but everything he's put out has been him, which is pretty cool. So just to see him, and we had a barbecue, and he, like, cooked for us, and just hanging out, saying he's a normal, thoughtful dude was pretty insane. It's like a dream come true.
Thomas had called me a while back and sort of said he was starting this sort of surreal, kind of his dream surf trip, like with just a bunch of different kinds of surfers that he really appreciates. And he invited Nate Lawrence to, our photographer Nate Lawrence, to Tavarua with Ryan Birch and Craig Anderson. And they got incredible waves and they all rode just the coolest boards. And basically, we sat on that for a couple months, and then Thomas basically put together this crazy kit of, like, cutouts and just insane Thomas Campbell art, and he mailed it to us in this big, like, package, and he was like, here, go to town with this for the art direction, and this will be, like, the first thing about my new movie that's coming out. I think it comes out maybe at the end of the year, but, you know, he like sent us this whole kit. It had like a mix CD in it for me, and it had like all these cool cutouts. And I think our art director and him have like worked on a couple different things. It's always fun and interesting to get two art directors together. Sometimes they butt heads and
Scott Chenoweth.
Yeah, Scott Chenoweth and not butt heads, but like getting two art directors together is always interesting. And because vision, there's no correct answer on a vision of art direction, but yeah, I think it came out insane, and I think Thomas is stoked, and I know Scott was stoked, and it was fun to kind of play with Thomas's the weird trinkets he sent us and lay it out on the page, and the photos are insane that Nate. I mean, when the goal when we started What Youth was to not have to say no. Like when I worked at Surfing Magazine, we had like a single one page music page, and that was like a big deal. That was straying away from surfing, but like, with me and Kai Neville and Scott Chenoweth and guys who started What Youth, we always were interested in all the stuff that happens around surfing. That's like more our life, you know, traveling, our music and all that. So it was always natural. And then the skateboarding happened by just, I don't know, I think Alex Olson was the first guy we chatted to, and he just like kind of opened our eyes to, it's okay. We just don't say no. If it makes sense, it makes sense. It's just like, people doing cool things. We don't think there's any like rule book on it. You know, if you make good music, we're interested. If you ride a skateboard well, we're into it. And we just never wanted to have to say like, no, we don't really do that. We let the kind of the thing decide that, I guess.
And too, just as like a human or a photographer or filmmaker or art director, for you being a writer, like, I think you're drawn to, like, a million different things. Like, you're gonna like music, you're gonna like skateboarding, you're gonna like surfing, or we always joke about, like, interviewing random people, like, the best pool player in the world, or things that are, like, a little more off-cuff than just skateboarding or surfing. I feel like it's, like, you almost have to, like, try to just be a skate mag, or, like, try to just be a surf mag, yeah. Where, I don't know, me shooting all the photos and doing a lot of the films and stuff, it's, like, I just kind of, like, doing all of it, so it ends up in the mag.
Yeah, no, it's like funny. I'm always like challenging like all the guys. I'm like, hit me with, and he came up with the pool player. He's like, we have to interview the best pool player, or whatever. Like, and I'm like, I don't want to have to say no. If it makes sense, I'm down. But it's like, it's not like we're hard-hitting journalists. We just kind of like to hang out with people who are interesting and kind of have, I don't know, perspective on things that we're curious about.
Yeah, it's definitely a trick that I've learned that makes it a lot more candid. Like, having the mic on, and then a lot of the times it won't be... I won't be recording video, but I'll still be getting audio. So that's where you get the, like, candid conversation that you can use in the video. And...
trick tips.
Yeah. There was one time I did the interview with Keegan Valleca in Sweden. He's a pro snowboarder. And he was, like, got that we were recording audio the whole time. And he was, like, he was about to say something. He's like, I'm not fucking saying this, dude. You guys are, like, Gossip Girl. I'm mic'd up right now.
Yeah. Well, the best is when like, Dane would go... I was transcribing the Dane interview from his raw audio from the video. And Dane would, like, go pee. And you just, like, hear him go pee. You're, like, peeing with him. You're like, oh, shall I just take the earphone out? Sorry, dude.
That's just a candid conversation with my friends at What Youth. What Youth magazine just dropped their 18th issue. The Thomas that Travis was referring to, Thomas Campbell, has an incredible feature in that new issue. There's a Russian skateboard crew that you got to read about. Another solid issue. Surf, skate. Like I said, sometimes they cover snow, but there's music. And the cover of that latest issue... What Youth magazine issue number 18 features Spencer Moody from the Murder City Devils jumping off the stage into the crowd, slapping some fool for making some stupid comments. And go to whatyouth.com. Watch that Dane Reynolds Fairly Normal episode. Epic. Other surf news, LB Layer. Bam. Yes, LB Layer just released another banger video part, Black Wave. No one can argue that this is the video part of the year so far. LB is so gnarly. Underrated even. Some of the craziest airs you will ever see in your life go down in this part. And I'm... okay, so here's where the argument... The surf nerd argument of the century goes down. Of course, this happened when Matt Miola dropped his part. It happens when John... whatever. It happens when people do good airs. Do wild-ass airs. The spin conversation comes into play. Okay, and I'm drawing the line. I'm on the side of calling airs in surfing, as you would call them in skateboarding. So if that's the case, yes, LB Layer, 720, Indy McTwist drops two hammers in this video part. And yeah, the surf nerds like me, we're going to just not argue, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about naming conventions when it comes to aerials. 99.9% of the world is not going to care, but there are a few of us out there that we like to argue about this stuff, right? It's fun. LB Layer, Black Wave, holy shit, incredible video part. If you don't even like surfing, you will like this part. If you like anything that involves going fast and doing crazy tricks on a skateboard, snowboard, surfboard, whatever, you will like this part. LB Layer dropped a hammer. Start your summer off right. And that's been Surf News for the Monday Nights. Well, that's it from another pretty good, mediocre episode of the Monday Mass. It doesn't matter, though, because this is the world's greatest action sports podcast. And if I keep saying that over and over and over, it must be true. Thank you to Tori Holistics for the support. Tori Holistics at ToriHolistics.com. Go find them. Google them. Tori Holistics. I should know this information. They're one of our best sponsors. I go to Tori Holistics. I get the CBD gummies. And let me tell you, after a long day of doing action sports like I try to do, surfing, skating, I get sore. So, you know, I go and I drink a ton of water and I have some CBD gummies in the evening time. Sleep like a baby. Wake up feeling good. I woke up at 6 o'clock today. Feeling like $1 million. So those CBD gummies helping me out. And I get mine at Tori Holistics. Hey, rate and review and subscribe to the Monday Mass Podcast. Tell your friends. If you send me a picture of a text telling one of your friends how awesome the Monday Mass Podcast is, I'll send you something. I don't know what, but I'll send you something. Hey, and also, youonline.com. Check us out, You Online. I'm part of You Online. The Monday Mass lives on You Online, as well as iTunes. So go to youonline.com. Check out our other shows, Canaculture, Let Me Drink About It, Cantori and You. those are some of the shows that you'll find, and they're great on uonline.com. Also want to send a shout out and thank you, Sid Abruzzi from Water Brothers Surf, Rhode Island. Water Brothers, these are the hardest of the hardcore, Rhode Island's finest. Sid, thank you so much. Sent me a couple of epic Water Brothers t-shirts I will be wearing with pride over here in San Diego on the West Coast. When I go to Rhode Island, I will be wearing it there. You can bet on it. Water Brothers. Go to originalbrothers.com and get yours. Support the hardcore. Support Water Brothers Surf Shop in Rhode Island. Also, I want to thank my homie, Josh Walker. Josh Walker at 1620. American-made workwear. Go check this stuff out. This is all 100% made in America workwear. You cannot destroy this stuff. You put it on, go to work, do whatever. I mean, whatever you do. I mean, you're a miner, a coal miner. You drive a street sweeper. You work in an office. You make a podcast. Whatever you do, 1620 workwear is for you. And this stuff, like I said, it's all made in America. It's indestructible. You're gonna love it. And if you go to 1620USA.com, enter the code COTE, COTE, in the coupon code line thing, and you'll get 20% off. That's just a homie deal from my friend Josh Walker between him, I, and you. So you go out and get yourself some 1620 workwear. You're going to love it. And I also want to say to everybody out there, I hope you had an epic 4th of July. One of the best holidays ever. As long as you don't blow your finger off, or do something stupid and wind up on one of those drunk people doing things, Instagrams, you're doing great. I love you, and we love America. Happy 4th of July. We'll see you next week. You'll hear us next week. This is a podcast? We're not on video?